Welcome to Heathen and the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And today we are going to be talking about herbal magic.
Yes.
I have a little background with herbs and doing like green witchery and kitchen witchery and just...
Don't lie, you're pretty knowledgeable with herbs.
I'm not an expert.
No.
I'm not the most seasoned person in the game, but yes, I work with herbs on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and I have a herbal background.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a little educational episode today for Witchy Wednesday to talk about herb magic and a little bit about herbs and the qualities that they hold and the properties that they have and the ways you can use them and things like that. And hope that this is fairly helpful for anybody who may be interested in herbalism.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. I know it's helped us out in our lives, and you've made a pretty solid little business out of herbal magic.
Yeah.
Tonics and potions and
right.
candles and
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely been a huge part of our lives.
So let's get to the first question. What was it that got you into herbalism / herbal magic?
Well, honestly, it was like it started just because you, like, when we had started on the path of like experimenting with witchcraft and paganism and all that, when I came to witchcraft, I really had no idea what I wanted to even do, focus on, how I wanted to practice or what I even wanted to incorporate. It really didn't come to me that I had a love for herbs. I mean, because I've always loved to cook, but it never really came to me like that was part, like that was magical as well. That you could also be like a kitchen witch. Like, I mean, I know that that's a term, but it never really hit me in my brain that, like, you know, it could be partially cooking. It doesn't have to be just making herbs or potions or things like that.
I think herbal magic would be like potentially a really good place for like a new witch to start, like, in their magic, because it's hands down like the least flinchy, I guess, if you're new into it. Like, if you're used to like maybe a Christian or like a more conservative upbringing, I mean, everybody's got herbs in their kitchen, and most of modern medicine started out as herbalism.
Right.
So it's not like, it's a safe area for new witches to not feel like they're
overstepping anything
in the occult too much.
you're not overstepping into anything too broad. It's something that's still very close to just like everyday life, like stuff that we always do, and I think that you can easily
absolutely
just kind of slip in some little magical sayings here and there while you're dashing in some salt or doing whatever,
because I guarantee even people who don't have like what they would consider magical herbs,
right,
or have don't even have any experience with herbalism or herbal magic, you've got the ingredients in your kitchen right now to do some probably pretty good spells.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's you've got,
there's
you've
definitely got herbs. a lot of basic herbs that people have in their kitchen that are included in herbal magic quite often. But when we built our garden that we had at our old house and started growing herbs, that was really when I kind of like became more intuitive to herbs and knowing that, like, okay, I do have a relationship with herbs and I can use them to heal, because that was a really big part in my life when I was still working on like my health and trying to figure out what was right for me, like health wise. So we were trying all new things, and the herb part just kind of really fell into that practice.
That really that really was like an experimental time in our life / spirituality, because we had never had, I mean, I had gardened in the past, but we had never together had like a big garden.
Yeah.
I had never done any herb gardening whatsoever.
Right.
And I found during that summer of that first garden we did, like, I think I like herb gardening better than, like, it's more fun to me than like vegetable gardening was. Because I guess the payoff is immediate. Like, you can go get a huge harvest of like basil and mint and like all of your like main herbs that will grow all through the summer, and like literally the next day you could go out and do it all over again. It grows so fast.
Yeah
Almost
so
too fast.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those immediate reward feelings.
Yeah.
Which is really nice when you're doing something so patient and slow as gardening. It's something that I really kind of just really fell into when we decided to put the beds in, and that was like something I just learned to love. I mean, when I started doing like the community gardening that we had volunteered for back in, that started like in 2018 pretty much.
So you did have a little like some gardening.
Yeah, I did have gardening experience beforehand.
I totally forgot about the Tulsa community garden.
Yeah. We volunteered for the community garden here and there, and did a little bit of vegetable and herb gardening there.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, that was when I really got my first taste of gardening. But when I really fell in love with gardening when we had like our own garden, and I was able to just, you know, go out and get my own herbs whenever I wanted, you know, that kind of thing. So that really, really was a pivotal point. And then I started making teas, and then that fell into, you know, making like the oils and stuff. So that was the start of my relationship with herbalism, and how that became a part of my life.
Totally. I'm so excited after this damn leg heals up to like start doing some
gardening again.
Projects,
yeah.
Like build some raised beds outside.
I'm really excited for the summer to finally have gardening again, because it will feel the equivalent of what we used to have. At least we have a lot more gardening space, I feel like, that we're going to be doing here than we did back home in Oklahoma. We did a minimum of what we could have done.
Okay,
so that'll be interesting to do here.
For me, most of like the herbal magic, like the healing that I get from it, is like the gardening part of it, like getting my hands dirty and like connecting with the earth. But what is herbal magic to you? Like, what is herb magic?
Well, I mean, herbs themselves have a ton of different properties in themselves, which is something that we can kind of go into like down the way in a minute. But for the most part, herb magic to me is really like the actual, it's the healing and the symbolism of which the herbs hold. So, you know, like for instance, like the candles that I make, you know, I make them like with mint and bay and rose and that kind of thing. And so the ones that I make with sage are, you know, for protection, and they hold that protection quality. The ones that are made with rose hold a love quality. So to me, I use herb magic regularly by the actual medicinal uses of herbs. I feel like I use herbs for the actual taste and feel and the actual properties that they hold when I ingest them. So I do, I drink a lot of tea. And that's something that I really came to like, because in 2018, I hated tea.
Yeah, when we first got together, you hated tea.
I was like, not a tea person.
You would not drink. I would make tea, like big pitchers of tea, and you wouldn't freaking touch them.
Yeah.
And now you literally have tea, like, close to every single day.
Yeah,
you'll make a pot of tea.
I do feel like it just took time to like tea. Like, that was part of one of the other things that made me fall in love with tea, was just trying to make teas that tasted good.
Yeah.
So when I finally did that, that was a part of what really grew that love.
And to pitch your
product, and the magic.
And to plug your product, like, not to be a brown nose or anything, but like, literally every single one of your teas are amazing tasting. Like,
thank you.
Like, they serve the, like, medicinal and magical purposes, but they're some damn tasty teas.
Thank you.
Every single one of them.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I mean, that is the goal. Like, I don't like tea that doesn't taste good. I wouldn't, like, if I can't drink it without sugar, then it's probably not very good. So no, I try to do that.
We did have that experimental whorehound tea.
That was an accidental. That was an accidental situation.
You don't need much whorehound.
Oh, no. That was my first time making a whorehound tea, and I wasn't even paying attention. Also, they weren't completely dried, so they were still kind of fresh. So they were super strong, and I wasn't even thinking about that, and just put them into this pot and only, like, I think I did put other herbs, but the whorehound, I think I put way more of than the other things, and it really took over the pot.
That was the
flavor. Oh, Lord. It was not good.
No. I mean, I love the flavor of whorehound, but that was like...
I know. I messed up on that one. Sometimes we make mistakes. But I did feel really
detoxed afterwards.
Right, yeah. It definitely gives you a good little, you know, little clean out. But, That's usually how I use herb magic in my life anyway. Nowadays, I drink the tea, the tonics. I like to have it in my life, in my body, but I also use them in other ways. You know, sometimes I'll make little herb sachets or things like that for like things or herb bottles or mixtures and such. So
totally.
I use them for different things.
Totally.
But for the majority of right now, I use a lot of it by ingesting.
Yeah.
In different ways.
For sure, yeah. Like, your tonics are great. I love your tonics. And you kind of skipped a question, but I'm going to stay where we're at.
Okay.
Like, in my practice, I'll use, like, I like to offer, like, herbs to, like, deities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm working with Thor, I'll offer like coffee. Coffee's always a really good bet with any spirit. Like, it's I feel like that's always a pretty good bet. And like, I'll offer like acorns because the oak tree is directly connected to Thor. So I mean, I don't know if you'd consider that herbal magic, but that's
that's definitely like a part plant. Of it. Yeah, that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah,
it's a part of it.
Yeah.
There's, because herbs themselves hold a ton of different things, and I know...
Totally, yeah.
We are gonna get to that at some point, in this journey today, but...
And to get, actually, that is the next question that we're gonna roll back to. What are some of the magical properties that herbs can hold, like, specific, like, I guess if you were gonna do... a love spell or a money spell or something.
So, like, I mean, like... Wait. Repeat that question again, because I feel like...
Are we talking more still on the healing side of it, or are we talking in the magic?
What is the question?
It says, what are the magical properties that herbs can hold?
Got it. Okay. So that's kind of broad, because I'm talking about the magical properties, and I'm... And those are including a lot of things, but there are genders for herbs.
Yeah.
So they could be masculine or feminine. They could be associated to different planetary rulers. So they could either be like in moon, like in correspondence with the moon or Venus or Mars or Saturn. They also can be associated to colors.
Yeah.
They could be associated to elements. So they could be earth, air, water.
And with the colors, would the colors fall into like chakra magic?
Yeah. They can also fall into chakra magic as well. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, the different properties. So yes, for something like, let's say healing, you can use bay, you can use cinnamon, you can use eucalyptus, apple, allspice. So there's a lot of different variations in that field. You can also use some for astral projection. Some of the herbs for that would be like mugwort.
Yes.
Which I've used before. And then there's also like poplar, but I've never used that before.
I guess that you just triggered a like a memory, like another place that I use herbs, I guess. I like to smoke mugwort or drink it in a tea. Like, it's really good for meditation. And like you said, astral projection or like dream work. It's really, really good for dream work. Like, I would suggest if you're doing dream work to drink it rather than smoke it. I feel like it's a little more potent for dream work by drinking it
in
a tea than smoking. But if you're going to just do some like meditation, you can smoke it, or you can even just burn it like an incense, and just the inhaling it while you're doing your like chanting or you're meditating,
right,
can kind of help you get into that.
Exactly.
Good, that
so
good magical place.
Exactly. So that's one of my favorites. And then, you know, love, you know, you can use, that one has a ton. There's, some that are even multi-use, like cinnamon can be used for that as well.
Yeah.
Damiana, one of my favorites. Clover, chamomile, basil. You can also use like bloodroot and daisy. So I mean, like, there's a good variety for every single thing that you may use. You can also use, you know, rose or mullein for love, even like divination love, and that kind of thing. And then of course there's various different types that you can have for like prosperity, protection, money, lust, power. I mean, pretty much anything you could think of, there are herbs for it. So that's an extensive list. But
is there, this isn't on our list of questions, but are there any, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, corresponding herbs? Like, are there herbs that, like, go with, like, you've got your healing magic, but, like, you could also consider, like, protection, like, a form of healing, are there any, like, corresponding herbs
that go together?
I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I'm
saying, like, because they used to be looked at as like purely magical, and then whenever like scientists started looking into the medicinal purposes, the magic and the science were like lining up. Like, heart magic would be like beneficial to like a healthy heart, like that kind of stuff. Like,
some kind of do that. Like, I know, like, hawthorn is one that is associated to like love magic, but is also a heart herb, like a heart tonic herb.
That's what I meant. I worded the question weird.
Yeah, sorry. I was kind of like trying to figure out exactly what you're trying to say. Like, if you were meaning, like, at first I thought you were trying to say like if there were ones that go together. I wasn't understanding what you meant.
I was trying to create the question and say it out loud.
Okay.
And it kind of jumbled.
Yeah, there are some that are like that.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any favorite herbs like that you use?
I use a lot. I use rose, lavender, chamomile, St. John's wort, regularly, peppermint, sage, the different types of sage, because there's like the white sage and then there's also sage leaf. I use a lot of sage leaf.
What would be the differences in the different types of sages?
So the different sages, the sage, white sage leaf is a completely different derivative. It's the type of sage that grows. Yep. So I forgot exactly where it's from, because it's a specific type of sage. But when you think of like white sage, I forgot what they call it. There's a word right in front of that, but my brain's gone blank. Anyways, so that one is a completely different one. Whereas, like a standard like sage leaf is just like the type that you would grow, like, let's say you would get like a sage from like the grocery store.
Yeah.
They grow like this very small slightly greenish white leaves, but they are not as hard as like a traditional white sage. They're just a little bit different.
Because I know there's types of sages that are like completely edible,
right?
And there's also types of sages
that are not the white sage would be the one that usually you would not eat. So
can smoke white sage, I believe, is that correct?
Not the white sage. You'd want to do like sage, like the actual sage leaf. So, I mean, there's different ones because you have like garden sage, there's red sage, there's like shwage, I think is like one of the ones, but it has very different, many different uses versus vice versa, both things. Sage leaf itself, though, I use a lot of. I also use a ton of calendula, lemon balm. Go to cola, which is a really good one. And the list goes on. I have a very extensive list of herbs that I work with regularly for many different things. But those are just a few.
Really, something that I thought was cool is in like a lot of like grimoires and stuff, like witches or like their spell books, like witches would use code for the herbs that they're using, kind of like they say like eye of newt or like toad's tongue or something, but they were actually talking about like a plant,
right?
But it was, you know, like dragon's blood, like if somebody that's like in like medieval times that's just going through some book they found in a cottage and it says dragon's blood, they're gonna think dragon's blood, but they're not realizing it's just like a resin from a tree, like,
right? Yeah.
But it was all, a lot of those like layman terms were like code talk, basically, like them keeping their recipes secret.
So yeah, I think it's very cool.
That's kind of cool. Let's see. You've got your favorite herbs. We've covered a couple of questions already that I haven't asked. What about essential oils? What are some places that you use essential oils, or?
You can use essential oils in many different ways, but you can use them depending on, you know, just the property of which you're trying to the intention you're trying to convey. I mean, you know, if you're trying to, let's say, attract money, then you can use some kind of mint or patchouli. If you want to attract love, you can use some kind of jasmine or rose. Maybe you want to get courage or healing. Courage, you can use like cedar or something like really strong, like musk, like something like that. And then healing, you can use something like eucalyptus or like rosemary or sandalwood. So different things can be achieved from different oils. If you wanted protection, you can use myrrh. If you wanted to like break a hex, you could use bergamot or vetiver. So
I like that there's a lot of herbs that like you were saying earlier are multi-purpose. Like cinnamon, you can use in like abundance spells, protection spells, healing spells.
Yes.
Mint is the same. Mint is kind of like,
is a very widespread herb as well.
You can literally put it in almost any type of spell. And it has a use.
Exactly. Those types of magic. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So they're very versatile and they have so many different properties. That's why I'm taking so much time to study and really hone the craft of being an herbalist. That's why I don't really call myself an herbalist, like quote unquote, but I am studying to be an herbalist because I'm taking my time with it and I really want to get my hands on experience with it. Because when I do finally get to call myself an herbalist, like truly, where I know that I feel it, because you could be an herbalist even without a degree, I know that I will feel ready, prepared.
Let's that actually leads like directly into the next question as far as like educating, like making sure that you're educated before you just go in balls to the wall willy-nilly,
mm-hmm.
eating plants and steeping them.
Yes.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You need to be careful. So do you have any, like, I'll even add to the question, do you have any book recommendations? And would you like to talk about the course that you're in?
Sure. Yeah. So the course that I'm currently taking is actually by a really, wonderful, very knowledgeable woman, Rosemary Gladstar,
uh-huh.
and it's online. And if you know anything about herbs, you've probably heard that name before. Yes. She's a very reputable name in the herbal industry.
Mm-hmm.
The course that I'm taking is directly by her, and I don't remember exactly what it is called right off the top of my head. I'll have to try to see if I can look it up real quick, but
we could even put a link in our description.
Yeah, towards... I'll see if I could put a link too if you guys are interested to take this course. But the course itself is really extensive. You get 3 years mm-hmm. To do the course, and it's very easy. It's called,
it's very thorough.
Yeah, it's called The Science and Art of Herbalism.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where you can find it. But I will also put that link in the information as well.
I've thumbed through some of your material where you're studying, and her, the program she's put together is like extremely thorough. The lady's,
yeah, very, it's
very,
really
very well known.
Yeah, it's very thorough. And it's taking me, I've taken some time to get through the course, even though there's only 10 lessons.
Yeah.
Every lesson has a lot of jam-packed information, and yeah. I did not buy like the course book. I took the easy route, cheap route, mm-hmm. and decided that I was going to handwrite all of my notes, because yeah. that's usually how I learn anyways, and it's easier for me to like keep everything in one place when I'm writing it myself. So yeah. I am taking the long way around and wanted to really like immerse myself in the course.
Yeah.
So it's taking time, but I'm hoping to definitely be done within the next couple of weeks.
I actually think it's pretty cool that you are writing your own book, kind of, because your notes are basically just turning into your herbal grimoire, more or
right,
less.
Like, right, exactly.
So
which
it's
is
kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of, I guess, that's kind of the goal.
Yes,
is to just be able to have my notes be accessible,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna be in ways that I can understand them. So mm-hmm. I like having that my own translation.
I'm gonna go off.
But the book recommendations that
yes.
I was going to talk about, there are a few, depending on what you're actually wanting, whether you want a book that's like actually more technical to herbal magic, or something that's more like medicinal, direct uh-huh. to the actual scientific information. I have a few different books. I really, really love using my, Scott Cunningham Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs book.
Yeah.
It's a really good book, and it has not every herb in it, but it has a lot.
Yeah.
And they give you the information of like, the folk names, the element, the gender, the power, the magical uses. It's really cool. I just bought another book recently, like the other day.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really good book. It's a little bit more technical, but it's worth the money because it's only like $25. So it's like really good.
It's not bad
and
for the size of book it is.
Yeah, it's a very good size book. And it's called Herbal by Vade Mecum. It's got 800 herbs, spices, essential oils, and properties, uses, and also the cautions. So in this book, I mean, you literally can look up anything and it will tell you the root, the botanical name, the property, the use, the caution. It tells you exactly, you know, what you can use it for, what not to use it for, what not to use it with.
Yeah.
The properties and the different things like that. So it's a very good book. I would also recommend the herbal recipes by Rosemary Glassdar. Honestly, she has a couple of great books as well.
She has a straight up like botanical book, like magical herbs book. That's like, I mean, it's like 1,000 pages. Like, it's a huge book. I really want to get it.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's a little on the, I'm not going to say pricey, because it's a huge book and there's a ton of information and she's extremely well researched. Like, it's a, I really want to get that book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the book of 5,000 spells that Shay was talking about is also like a really good,
I think, herbal. You're talking about magic. The Encyclopedia of Spells. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. No, you're fine. It's the Encyclopedia of Spells is what you're talking about. But yeah. That's the one that you have. That was your book originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good spell book overall.
Yeah.
And, but there's also like, I mean, every herb you can think of, like, it's really thorough on the different herbs you can use and like ones that you can ingest and not ingest. Like, there's, I mean, mm-hmm. they're really, she's really well researched.
Yeah. And then I have this other book that I actually got it from, I think, like a thrift store or something. But it's a very, like,
I gave you that book.
This book?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Herbal Defense?
That's one of them that I was talking about.
Just a little bit ago. Okay. Yeah. The Herbal Defense book is really cool. It's got stuff in it for like nosebleeds and like nutrition, cancer and yeast infections and stuff. So it's a really cool like book for direct medicinal uses, which is really awesome. That's the one I'm talking about is Herbal Defense by Robin Landis. We'll also put the list of our books in the description today, so you all can definitely check those out if you are interested in getting a book for yourself. But yeah, we have a ton of books, and you know, I'm not an expert. I have not read these books from back to front or anything like that. I use them really for reference when I'm looking for something or I really need some good information that maybe I'm not finding, because who wants to thumb through the internet when you can just look through really good books by people who are actually researched?
Absolutely. I mean, the internet is a good source, but like you said, you've got to be really, really careful.
Yes.
When it comes to,
yes, you cannot just click anything on the internet. You have to make sure that it is very thorough information
and source their information.
Like, yes.
Yes. Make sure everything's sourced and then you check the sources yourself.
Yes. Like, yes, absolutely. So, that's why I love having books and I have quite a bit of them. I have a pretty good array of books, probably about at least 10 on just herbs alone.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what is recommended when you are studying something. You should have multiple different sources to pick from.
Totally. And, do we want to talk about foraging? I was also going to talk about, like, you should, if you're wanting to get into herbalism, it'd be a good idea to probably find a local apothecary or like herbal store.
Yes.
But yeah, like foraging is also an option if it's legal to forage where you're at and, you know, you've got some books to do it safely, because there's a lot of plants that look like other plants.
Yes.
Especially when you're like talking about mushroom foraging, which we won't get into that in this episode because that's a whole other thing. But like, you gotta be like, mushrooms, there's a doppelganger for every safe mushroom that is toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. The foraging itself, honestly, what I recommend when you're gonna go forage, I would not recommend as a beginner going out into the wild.
No.
There are way too many lookalikes and things that you may think is one thing, but it is not. Even with like an identification book or an identification app, I would not recommend doing that unless you are absolutely positively sure, and have been up and close and personal with particular herbs. Now, I would say it would be easier to find a more controlled area to forage. So going to maybe like a local person's farm or finding like a really cool, like I've even gone right to someone's like front yard.
Totally.
And just knocked on the door and asked them if I was able to pick like these plants out of their yard. Someone had like a bush of feverfew and I said, hey, can I pick it? And she's just like, yeah. And I was like, okay, thanks. So that was an easier way to do it than going out into the wild. So if you could do something like that, just finding places that are, you know, they're wild to you. You can still find, you can even find things in your backyard. A lot of people are growing yarrow and mullein and comfrey and all kinds of things right in their yard without even realizing what it is.
And things like dandelions are getting
ready. Yeah, dandelions are the most neglected, underused item that everyone loves to just throw weed killer on. So you're more than welcome to, you know, instead of throwing weed killer on your dandelions this year, pick them and use them for something that would be beneficial to you. I mean, dandelions have a ton of great uses. I love using dandelion root. Mm-hmm. It's a really good one for like stomach.
Yeah.
And it's good for like fat burning and like digestive and that kind of stuff. Dandelion itself just holds a ton of like really great properties.
You can also
like that.
Roast the roots and make a coffee substitute, and it's
got
a pretty decent amount of caffeine in it. So
I mean,
you're getting the health benefits of the dandelion, but you're also getting a little bit of a caffeine boost. Also, something to remember about dandelions is they are the first food source in the spring for honeybees and pollinators.
Yes,
to basically feed their colonies with. So, like, by killing dandelions, that is hurting the bee population, and the bee population's already under enough heat right now with, you know, pesticides and just the bullshit that humans do. So keep the dandelions around. They're good for us, they're good for the bees, and honestly I think they're beautiful.
And when you pick them or turn them into like a tea or a tonic, they're going to be really good for bloating, flatulence, you know, constipation. I mean, really anything that you can think of, like with your stomach. So, even some heartburn, you know, use it for that. There's always a good use for something in the yard, which is what I'm really loving about, my gardening experience that I'm getting now as well. Because I am really immersed in this, you all. Like, I mean, I didn't really choose this life. This life chose me.
It just happened.
It did. This gardening job fell into my lap. You know, the herbalism life fell into my lap. I mean, it really just kind of all came crashing on me.
You literally went from, like, when we first started dating, or we, like, first started getting into, like, witchcraft and gardening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You didn't have hardly any gardening experience, but I had had a ton of, like, hobby gardening experience, like growing tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that. So in the beginning, I knew more about like gardening, and then like literally in the last like 3 years, like you have like skyrocketed past anything I could possibly know. Like I can still grow a fucking tomato plant, like it's, like it's nobody's business, but like you are the plant queen now.
Well, I mean, I'm just learning as I go. I'm just learning as I go, all of the information, because really there's a lot of information to take in when it comes to this genre of learning. There's a ton of stuff in herbalism.
There really is. There's
in plants and
so
everything.
Many plants.
Yeah. And but my gardening job has allowed me to have access to herbs that I can use in my in my business or even just in my everyday life. So it's really cool able to do that.
And it's a lot of herbs that like you wouldn't see a lot, like hops. Like
a lot of
in people's backyards.
A lot of people here have like hops bushes and have no idea what they're even gonna do with it. They're just like, what is this? I'm just like, you can do stuff with that. So that it's really cool to be able to share that part of it. I've really been getting a lot of good hands-on experience with just herbs in general. And if that's my one piece of advice is just that, you know, get your hands on experience with herbs, really learn, what they're like and see them up close, before you really, you know, just purchase dry herbs and start doing all the mixing and all that stuff, because there's a completely different side to the herbs when they're alive versus when they're just in the bag. And you really don't know everything until you've, experienced the entire cycle of plant life, truly.
You just plucked the thought out of my mind.
I'm thinking
the same thing, but it's also like I would almost suggest for like, oh, goddamn. I would suggest like gardening, like just using your garden, like getting to know the plants that way, like plant the plants yourself, because you're growing a relationship with the plants, you're learning about the plants, like you're gonna know what to look for when you're out foraging.
Right.
And like, I mean, there's pride to be taken in that. I think the magic's a little more potent.
For sure. That is part of magic too.
Whenever mm-hmm. you've cared for and nurtured and loved
is the relationship.
Plants. Yeah, the relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the relationship for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. We said that at the same time.
It's like shamanic gardening. You're tapping into the soul of the plant. Like,
you really are. It's even a form of like, you know, it's even a form of like spell work when you're planting something and you're having a whole intention going on. Cause totally. I do a lot of intention gardening even. Mm-hmm. I love putting stuff into, you know, a starter pot and putting the seeds in and painting the pot and thinking really yeah. positive things and all that sweet stuff that we did this Sunday with our family. Like,
yeah, that was really fun.
You know, we just sat outside on a nice warm day and just did some intention potting, which was yeah. really lovely. And that is another form of magic. Mm-hmm. I also really just like using herbs, like, you know, like you said, in the tonics, you know, with helping to heal the family.
Yeah.
I also just... In many ways, it's been intertwined in all things that are really just a part of like even meditation and a part yeah. of wellness, a part of actual
it's really good
a therapy, part of like just... health of healthy living too. Yeah. It's really becoming more than just, you know, more than just herbalism, even just more than just gardening.
Yeah, because it's super therapeutic for me to, like, if I'm, like, pissed off or just having, like, an ugly day. Like,
yeah.
Just to go out in the garden and, like, prune some plants and get
yes.
my hands dirty.
Yes, it is very therapeutic, which is why I have to have it. The garden has made me so much more patient.
Totally.
It has taught me to be less afraid. Like, I can go out in the garden now and be next to a swarm of, you know, bees and not freak out. But I used to scream when one bee would come near me.
You really have evolved when it comes to bugs.
Thanks.
Since you got into herbalism.
You know, since I became a witch, really, yeah. that truly made me have more of an affinity for life because, for sure. you know, witchery itself is all about, you know, the harmony and love of life and the things that you get out of it and the way you treat life, you know, every living thing has, you know, a heartbeat and treat it with love and care. And so absolutely. Ever since that has become a part of my philosophy, I really have learned to be more zen with the bugs.
Yeah, it's definitely given us more of like an animistic approach to like life, like an animistic philosophy. Like you see the sacred in everything. Like
yeah.
you, that's something that witchcraft has taught me like deeply, is like that everything is sacred.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it really makes you become a little bit more one with the universe.
Yeah. That pretty well wraps up all of our questions. Is there any like closing thoughts you'd like to say?
I would definitely want to close out with a card.
Oh, yeah.
And just want to, you know, leave off with a message, of course, because it's Witchy Wednesday, so we can't leave out of here without a card.
And this deck
and
is beautiful.
Yes, I do have a new deck this week, you all, and I'm so excited for you to see it online. Today, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not even going to ask a question, really. I really just want the deck to just give me the cards that we needed to have today. And that's really it. What I will be doing for next week's Witchy Wednesday, I want to let you all know that we will be having a special guest. I'm not going to give away any of the information right away, right now, but we are going to announce that information on Monday.
Yeah.
So if you all don't follow us on social media, then you should. And we will plug that information here in just a little bit. But we will get into that. And we want you all to just, you know, keep with us. And stick with us. We have some extremely exciting
yes.
Things coming and really cool people for you all to mm-hmm. to talk to get to interact with, for us to talk to. And yeah, we want you all to start submitting questions as well.
I'm really excited to get some guests on. Like, I'm super excited for next week's guest. It's going to be a very, like, informative and fun and just a kind of a change of pace. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a nice episode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
To get somebody in that's
a little bit different
on something. And yeah.
Like, yeah. 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 You all are going to be super excited. Like I'm stoked for this. So, you know, I am pulling some cards. So our first card we have is the Three of Pentacles. We also have the Fool. Okay, I'm gonna pull three. I'm just gonna pull three. I could pull more, but I really feel like three is my calling today. Mm-hmm. All right, and the Hermit.
One of my favorite cards.
All right, very beautiful. I love the imagery on these cards. I mean, if they couldn't be any more beautiful. So we have Three of Pentacles, the Fool, and the Hermit. You know what this Three of Pentacles is telling us is that we're in a moment right now of being creative. Yep. And there is a lot of room for this exponential growth. Sometimes we have a hard time feeling confident and having those feelings of just assurance, you know?
Yeah.
Like the admiration that most of us don't ever feel that we're really worthy of. So I feel that like this is telling us that that your passion for yourself is the reward. Like just yeah. know that like your hard work is the talent that yeah. that you have, and that's gonna get you where you wanna be.
Yeah.
The next one is the Fool, and it's actually reversed. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming like it's upside down. So it's really telling you that like things are not normal right now.
Yeah.
which is true.
It is.
Society is kind of like in the midst of literal chaos.
Yeah.
And so it's imperative to like just follow your instincts. You know, nothing is going to feel normal or ordinary at this point.
No, right now, nothing. I don't think anything's supposed to feel normal.
Yeah,
right
you know, like just go with the flow, ride the wild ride. You know, look ahead, don't look back. Yeah. Just go with your instincts because things are as crazy as they feel. So the Fool is kind of giving us some real wisdom that, you know, don't panic. What is that saying that they used to say? Don't panic. I can't remember what it used to be on every single thing that you would look up. But it would just be like, you know, like don't.
Oh yeah, it's like don't panic.
Or don't something. Never. It was for anyways, yeah. But and our last card is the Hermit, so it is telling you that there are. You know, new things that you can discover about yourself, and there are breakthroughs ahead.
Yeah.
Being alone is good.
What we're doing with the night.
It's okay to be alone. It's okay to have silence and meditation. Uh-huh. It's all right to find ways to cope. Because the unconscious mind holds a lot of things that we tend to blare out.
Yeah.
And we shy away from that window, mm-hmm. that light that needs to be, you know, explored. So
yeah.
Take some time alone and just improve, you know, improve yourself, work on your well-being, take some you time.
Yeah. It's funny. I've done about a dozen readings in the last couple weeks, and it's starting to get redundant in my readings because they're all saying the same thing almost every time. Like, because I do readings for my Instagram group that I've got, and it feels like every single day, like it's telling, like, we're in a time of transformation. Like, we need to get into self-love and shadow work and move forward. Like, I feel like that's happening every day in the group. So, like, there's something in that. We're growing. It's uncomfortable right now, but there's better stuff ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
yeah.
So, back to the end of this glorious Witchy Wednesday. If you all are enjoying this episode, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. We are, you know, keeping up with our regular schedule, posting every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here for you. And we hope that you all are enjoying the content. We've been trying to grow our platforms. We've been trying to reach out to you all and really get engaged with you. So, you know, if you're liking what you're hearing, please let us know. It's always nice to hear it because that is how things grow. Nothing grows in silence. We only can see that you've listened, but we want to hear your feedback too. So we just want you to know how much we appreciate you all being here.
For sure. And if you'd like to share it in like any groups that you think would be interested in it, like we want to have, like, as we want to reach as many people as possible. Like we love doing this and we love hearing from people and we want to grow this like little family of heretics. And yeah, just share it.
Just help us out, y'all. Talk please to
us, like, give us some input because we are listening. Like we've taken several suggestions from people and turned them into episodes.
So it's really fun. If you all want to connect with us, find us on our social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. Make sure that you find us. If you do look those up, we have a link tree. It will connect you to everything that you need. You can find all of our social medias and every platform that we are currently streaming. So make sure you check us out. This has been a really very awesome Witchy Wednesday to share with you.
Totally, yeah.
And I hope that you all have enjoyed hearing a little bit about some herbal magic.
Yeah.
We will be checking in with you all on Monday. So make sure that you all keep your eyes on our socials for the big announcement on what we're doing for our next Witchy Wednesday. And we hope that you all enjoy this. Well, this has been Heathen and the Hedge. My name is Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And we will catch you all on the next one. Blessed be, y'all.
We love you guys.
Peace.